Welcome to How to Make Money in Stocks with Investor's Business Daily, featuring market commentator and host of the IBD Market Wrap, Amy Smith, and Matthew Galgani, host of the IBD Stock Analysis and editor of the IBD Extra newsletter. Tune in each week as we use history, not hunches, to help you stay safe in today's market and get in early on tomorrow's winning stocks. Now, here's Matthew Galgani.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of How to Make Money in Stocks with Investor's Business Daily. Last weekend, we had to go do some of the final back-to-school shopping, headed down to the outlets, and I finally figured out a way to stay out of the stores.
You have the man version to shopping, don't you?
It depends on what I'm shopping for, but when it comes to clothes, yes, I totally have that. So I figured I'll bring the dog. And by bringing the dog, we can't leave her in the car because it's too hot. So somebody has to take care of her. So I was a trooper for 6 or 7 hours hanging out at the cafes and just walking around with my dog, which is, to me, much better than being in the stores looking at clothes.
Oh, Matt, you are too much. Well, did your kids get the clothes that they needed and your wife got the clothes that she needed?
Yep, and we have the credit card statements to prove it.
Yes, I love paying those off. Those are such fun. The joys of having kids. All right, well, we have a very special guest on the show this week. We have Andrew Horowitz from the Disciplined Investor Podcast, and he will talk about being a disciplined investor. But first, let's take a look at the market. We had a nice post-Labor Day bounce on Tuesday, and the NASDAQ and tech stocks in general have tightened up. The NASDAQ's been up 4 trading sessions for the week, and leading stocks continue to do well, including Facebook, Netflix, LinkedIn, and Tesla. Also, the new highs list in IBD has grown, which is a positive sign.
Now, we've been talking for a couple of weeks now about some testing grounds that the major indexes have been working on. For the NASDAQ, that's been the 3,600 mark, and it's now solidly above that area, and that's good to see. The S&P 500, it's been working on the 50-day line. It's been testing that benchmark line for a while now. On Friday, it kind of nudged up against it, but it was unable to move above it. So keep an eye on that in the coming days and weeks. You definitely want to see it get back above that line. So as it stands now, we're still in a correction, but that can change.
Now, Syria could be a factor for the market, so keep watching that. So for a new uptrend to begin, we have to have either a follow-through day, which would be an upside day on heavier volume than the previous day, or the NASDAQ's going to hit a new high. So it's definitely important at this juncture to keep your watch list up to date in the event that we do get a new uptrend, because this is when many stocks will start taking off and you want to be sure to capture their moves.
And we do have several free 2-minute tip videos on our website that you can see to handle this kind of situation. One is about how to build a watch list. We also have one that talks about what to do after a follow-through day happens. And we have one on how to get started with IBD that shows you how to see changes in market direction and get alerts to top-rated stocks that could be near a potential buy point.
Okay, earnings this week brought some companies hitting it out of the park, and others were slumping on weaker-than-anticipated reports. Infoblox and Ambarella both reported stronger-than-anticipated earnings Friday before the open, and both of them zoomed on the news. But Conn's Inc. got smacked pretty hard. It was down 11% on Thursday and down quite a bit again on Friday, 12% certainly at one point. Now, this points out the dangers that can arise during earnings season. Conn's had been looking just fine in terms of its chart action, but it came under severe selling pressure after their earnings were announced.
So back to happier news. Since we are always on the lookout for new leaders that are growing fast, have accelerating earnings and sales growth, and a great product, let's do a quick recap of some recent IPOs. We'll look at some leaders who've gone public over the last year or so.
YY is up about 110% in 18 weeks. That's a very nice move. This is a Chinese company that has a popular social networking platform. Now, YY's earnings were up a whopping 169% in the most recent quarter. So that those are very, very strong earnings
That's
numbers.
Great.
Sufun has rocketed 72% in 8 weeks. And this is the Zillow of China. And it's recently gotten a boost from reports that Chinese real estate is doing well. Earnings for that company were up 56% in the most recent quarter.
And another fairly recent IPO is Fleetmatics. The ticker is FLTX. It went public back in October of 2012, and it's up over 100% in just 16 weeks. In the most recent quarter, EPS growth was 360%, And sales growth has been very steady over the last few quarters, ranging between 36 to 39%. Now, it's not currently near a buy point, but with those kind of numbers, it could be something to watch.
Qihoo is a Chinese developer of antivirus software, and it's up 135% in 18 weeks. And this stock has been up 10 weeks in a row. So all of these companies that we've talked about, these more recent IPOs, have an innovative product or service that's in big demand, and all of them have big earnings numbers, many of them in the triple digits.
And you can keep an eye on these and other recent and upcoming IPOs by checking the New America page in IBD every day.
Remember not to buy an IPO on hype or news. Wait for it to prove itself to you with big earnings numbers and wait for it to build a legitimate base.
Finding winning stocks just got much easier. Leaderboard, IBD's latest innovation, does most of the work for you. You start with a daily list of leading stocks put together by IBD experts. Then they continue to track each stock, alerting you to potential buy points, as well as any warning signs that could mean it's time to lock in your profits. To take a free trial to Leaderboard and see which stocks are on the leaders list right now, go to investors.com/radioshow. That's investors.com/radioshow.
Now, back to How to Make Money in Stocks with Investor's Business Daily.
We are happy to welcome a very special guest, Andrew Horowitz. You may have seen Andrew on CNBC, Bloomberg, or other programs. He is the author of two books, The Disciplined Investor and The Winning Investor. And he also hosts the Disciplined Investor podcast, which is one of the most popular investing shows on iTunes. And by the way, Amy and I both have had the honor of appearing on his show. So, Andrew, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Andrew, tell us a little bit about your show and why you started it and how long you've been doing these podcasts.
You know, it's funny. I started back in 2007 or so, and that was before podcasting. You'd ask somebody what a podcast, well, they told me what a podcast was. I'm like, I don't know what that is. And what happened was that I was in the middle of writing my book and The Disciplined Investor, and there was a discussion somewhere about, you know, marketing it. And they said, well, you know what, have you thought about, we'll set you up with a podcast. And I'm like, what is that? So what happened was we started to develop this podcast and brought on some guests since 2007. I think we've done about 328 shows or so. It's a weekly show.
I think we missed one
over that period of time. It launches every Sunday night late so we can get all the information for the week and the week ahead. And it's just become very popular. We talk about a lot of different things without excess overlay of either silver lining or negativity. It kind of really balances things when I bring on guests that I don't agree with and that I do agree with. So we get a very nice mixture, and it just seems to be pretty popular.
So what are some of those things that you cover?
Well, we talk about economics a lot, and we go through what happened during the week, what some of the numbers look like. Between the lines, for example, we see revisions and what that means. You know, with the latest GDP revision, what does that exactly mean? Where did it come from? We talk about the earnings that are coming up. Some of the recent news items that may be facing the markets, for example, we see Siri's been in the news for a few weeks, and what does that actually mean? I give recommendations, talk about oil, you know, which direction to move on it, take listener questions, and we bring in guests from all over the world. Many of them you can probably think of, from Mark Faber and Robert Reich and Goss from Australia is one of the favorites on there, plus a lot of actual traders. But again, we do it in I call it a barstool process. You know, we're just chatting.
Yeah, and I think that's what people really like. Now, you put a lot of emphasis on being the disciplined investor. So you have a book called The Disciplined Investor, and you got the podcast. Tell us how some specific ways that you encourage people to be disciplined investors.
Yeah, that's a good question because, first of all, it's very difficult when it's your money. It's very difficult. There's emotions, and that's the biggest issue that really comes into play that, oh, I'm losing money. Hey, I'm great. I'm making money. You know, you see people and you meet people out there and you're playing golf, and they're only telling you about all the money they've made. You know, if you ask them about what they lost, they somehow, you know, have a memory loss
right.
of what that was. You know, they only tell you about the hottest stock they have. What we really try to instill is, you know, you have to figure out a way that, first of all, you can be comfortable in what you're doing and have a process. We call it the quanta funda techna. So it's quantitative analysis, and this goes very much along with IBD theory. You look at a quantitative analysis, you're looking at screens, you're looking at certain characteristics of growth and balance sheets, and you're coming up with a list that meets certain criteria. Then what we do is we look at the underlying fundamentals. We lift the hood and say, okay, what's going on here? You know, why is this stock making the list? And is it something that we really want to look at? It has to have some minimum volume. It has to have a certain trend, which is now the techno. We look at the charts, because you can have the best looking stock in the world from the perspective of what's going on with the balance sheets and the cash flow statements, but it can look lousy on a chart because there's something going on that maybe you're unaware of. Competition, it could be management change, it could be a whole host of things that are happening. So you have to use all of those. And if you put those together and go through that process, it helps you be much more disciplined. And then you can set up your price targets, you can set up your stops where you're going to get out, and then you have it written down, by the way, somewhere, and stick to that.
So you have, so it's like you have a written trading plan, and you're sticking to your discipline, and that is very similar to some of the IBD methodology.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And listen, I'm like everybody else out there. Some of the first books I ever read were, you know, William O'Neill's How to Make Money
in Stocks. That's right.
Right. I mean, and that were any of the other ones, you know, how to short stocks, and I've gone to seminars, and I've, you know, I think it's very important, because while I do things a little bit differently as a money manager and as some of the things that we do, because we'll short stocks and we'll do what's called bounce, and we'll look for things to bounce off certain support levels, the fact of the matter is that I don't think there's anything better than understanding the full components that go into it and then having a plan and saying, okay, you know what, I'll wait till it breaks to this point, and then I'll buy it or short it, and then I'll have my target price and I'll have my stop price, and then just stick with it.
So tell us a little bit about your journey to where you got to that point, because obviously you don't learn all these things overnight. You don't learn how to control your emotions overnight until you've probably lost a little bit of money in the market. So what have been some of your biggest successes and biggest mistakes?
Let's get something straight, first of all. I still have emotions when it comes to the markets, you know?
We all do.
Everybody does.
You have a day going by, and everything is kind of just, you know, whatever, and then all of a sudden you get a 345 headline out of nowhere that you wonder, was it a plant that they put that in there? Was it just, what's the timing involved here? Or, you know, whatever else it may be. And I think that the experience of looking at stocks from back in the 80s, you know, being through the 87 crash where I was trading some options for myself personally and, you know, looking at the markets themselves, then doing a tremendous amount of research into what makes the best investment process. And then looking at the components, because one of the things that I always found was there are those players that are value-oriented and those players that are growth-oriented. And one of the big issues that I remember very clearly was back in the late 1990s, without naming names, there was two different firms. One was hardcore value and one was hardcore growth, major investment banks. And what happened was that value became out of favor. Everybody, their clients took their money out and they moved over to the growth side. Right at the wrong time.
Uh-huh.
And that collapsed. So they get killed on the value side. They take their money out and they move over and they chase going to the growth side. And then that just goes down. Now, at the end of the day, both those firms bought other firms to balance their portfolio so they have both going on. And that was really a wake-up call to, you know what, I don't think you want to be pigeonholed to one way or the other. You want to have multiple tools available to you. And what's the best way to do that is to unemotionally find stocks that have certain characteristics, and then utilize the process of understanding how they work and about what the company does, and then, again, use the chart as the final point of investing. And I think just to put a point on this of what things I've learned, you know, back in 2006, I was standing on the table screaming that real estate is going to collapse. People were like, what is wrong with you? I said, I'm telling you, there is a humongous problem. Now, that didn't happen for, what, a year and a half?
Right.
That's a long time. Now, if I was to enter into some trades and bet the house on that, so to speak, I would have been in big trouble. You know, the staying power to enter into a trade like that while things were still moving up. So I learned that things move in a direction much longer than you can anticipate, even if you're right about where it's going. Now, as I said, the same thing's happening with the bond market, right? Everybody's been predicting for a year and a half that the bonds are just ridiculously priced. They need to come in. And it's taken a long time to get there.
Well, so the disciplined investor, I get it now, and I like it. You've got a written trading plan. You have your trigger points where you're going to sell or where you're going to buy, whether you're going long or short, and you're doing everything that you can to keep your emotions out of it. So I think that's great. I think every investor should be doing that.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, the trigger points, you know, one of the things that IBD teaches is that you want to find certain characteristics. You want to find was a low volume low in the stock after it's kind of done a move up, whatever the exact pattern would be, you know, three-week tight or your cup and handle, whatever it is, and then you want to find where it's going to break above a point of prior resistance, we'll say, just to make it easy. You know, one of the things that we have is a very similar tool that I use. It's a what's called a market profile. It takes volume and flips it on its side over a time period, and we can see very clearly where the volume at price is really playing out. And at the end of the day, it gets us pretty close to the same answers, whereas we will find where there's going to be that move, because in the hope would be that if you buy the stock correctly in a correct market condition, you can see a pretty swift move. Well, that's probably because there's a very little volume resistance. There are no players that have played in that area, and there's nobody that's, you know, we'll call it overhead out there, and therefore it does a great job of moving up. The end of the day is the same concept.
Okay, well, we're going to be back with the second segment, and this is great to have Andrew on our show. We're going to talk a little bit about his trigger point research. We are back with Andrew Horowitz, and we're going to ask him a little bit about his trigger point research, which is similar to what we have in the IBD screens. These are stocks that are breaking out of price consolidations on big volume. So, Andrew, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that has happened is I get a lot of audience participation in the podcast, and they ask me for certain things and how we're doing certain things, and we decided that one of the things that was most desirous was to have a service, an alert service, that would give people a particular stock that may be breaking out of a consolidation, as you mentioned, or breaking down, or as we would also look at it, a bounce. A bounce could be a bouncing from a support level, you know, moving higher, or down from a resistance level. And we do this through text and email, so it becomes very easily accessible to the subscribers. The thing that we use there is, like we talked about earlier, was a whole concept of, okay, where is there a no volume resistance? We look at the different charts, our algorithms come up with the greatest possibility and potential for a move, and we're looking for a very fast move, because you have two states of markets, right? You have horizontal consolidation, and you have vertical fast moves, and usually the vertical fast moves up or down are much faster in terms of price action than a consolidation. You see kind of the up and down, then you see this big move. And what we do there is we have a very select list of them. Come out every day, but they come out maybe once or twice or maybe three times a week. You'll get something, and we have a very high commitment to it, saying, hey, this is a stock that the price target is, you know, X, the downside is here, and this is the chart and what we're showing you the setup. And then we do a call up, whether it's a short or a long setup. So it works very nicely for those people that are do-it-yourselfers that want to have the opportunity to get these signals and then implement them themselves.
I think what's interesting about that, too, is that especially for people who are newer to charts and they're not too familiar with how to spot buy points and how to spot patterns, one thing I always try to tell them if I'm talking to them one-on-one is, first and foremost, you have to understand the concept of support and resistance. At the end of the day, that's really most of it, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, you have things like these arbitrary numbers that I always kind of chuckle about, like the 50-day line, the 200-day line. You know, some people do things like, oh, let's look at the 18-day line. Look how that stock really played on that. But those are retrofitted to a degree. There are some certain points that are important. And whether you draw a standard trend line, just a line across to find the support or resistance, or what we like is we're coming up with not only that, but a volume-based support where the real volume came into the stock and held it at that point, which may be much different than a straight line across, you know, double bottom or double top. So, but you have to find where the players, so this is kind of an x-ray into where are the institutions actually putting their money at what price.
Now, I know that this is a tough question to answer because I'm sure it varies and I'm sure there's many different time periods. What is the average length of a trade that you would make using this methodology?
We close all trades maximum of 30 days.
Okay.
And the reason for that is simple, that if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do very quickly, we'll close it and maybe reopen it, you know, another time and just make room for something else that has the opportunity to do a very quick move, because we're looking for a vertical move that's going to happen very quickly.
You kind of remind me of stocks on the move at investors.com. You know, that's the whole thing that we look for. We look for these stocks that are moving up on massive volume. Or, and we have the same thing that you're talking about on stocks on the move, you can click the red arrow and that will give you a big list of stocks that are going down in huge volume, either up or down.
Right, exactly. And then usually it's going to be breaking through a point and there's somebody panicking, so they're selling out or they're panicking in, any way you want to look at it. And it could be news-driven or it could just simply be price-driven. But in the end of the day, when you're looking at price and volume action, it doesn't really matter why it's happening. It just is.
It's just happening, right.
Just happening, and that's good enough for this.
That's very interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap between what you're doing and what IBD does as well. And by the way, you can find out more about what Andrew does at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. So as we've obviously now gone over in the last couple of minutes, we both look at price and volume action in the charts. We look at support and resistance. What are some other indicators that you look at to gauge market health, and what are they showing you right now?
Well, we have a variety of different things that we're going to look at, but one of the things we really like to see is where are the markets in terms of, now big picture we're talking about, where are the markets in terms of, are they oversold, are they in equilibrium, or are they overheated? Because you get into situations where you have a market that's being sold off and sold off and sold off, and you get to a point that it's almost the inevitability of a snapback because it's so oversold, utilizing a variety of tools that we have, and we call it the KRI indicator, the key reversal indicator. And when we see that starting to move very significantly to the negative side, and a cluster of averages that are getting to show a very significant oversold, there is inevitably a rebound that's going to occur. Now, that may be short-lived, but it does happen. In any simple bear market bounce, right? And at the same time, when we're looking at the levels on the upside, when we're looking at when stocks are generally overheating, they need to pull back, take a breather. Something's going on there that's pushing them up, but they just don't go up straight forever. Right now, markets are in equilibrium. They've been that way for, you know, several days. They were oversold at a point, and there was a, if you look at the history, it was a couple of weeks back, there was a point that they oversold and there was a big bounce right afterwards, and now we've become back in equilibrium. The froth is removed, or the oversold nature is removed, and that's just one of the tools, and it's very useful because you can then adjust your portfolio by, if you keep your core portfolio, then add some hedges to it or boost it up a little bit. You can have both sides playing. This way you have your core stocks that you hold or positions that you hold, and then have a side where you have a hedge to the negative or a hedge to the positive side.
Well, Andrew, we are unfortunately running out of time here. We're going to have you back on again. We have further discussions. It was great to have you on the show today. Thank you so much, and I hope things are great in Florida.
Hey, thanks so much, and I appreciate you having me on. And just to let you know, it's a 14-day free trial for anybody on Trigger Point Research, so you can go check that out. And I'll talk to you guys soon. You got to be back on my show, too.
Oh, good. Can't wait. Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Investing in the stock market is a skill. Fortunately, it's a skill anyone can learn, and you can do it in stages at your own pace. A good first step is to take a free trial of Investor's Business Daily. Here's why. First, you'll get pass or fail ratings for any stock you're looking at, and lists like the IBD 50 will alert you to today's strongest stocks. You'll also get free hands-on training and daily videos that show you how to handle today's market. To take a free trial, visit investors.com/radioshow. That's investors.com/radioshow.
Now, the final segment of How to Make Money in Stocks with Investor's Business Daily market commentator Amy Smith and Matthew Galgani, editor of the IBD Extra newsletter.
We want to let you know that the latest issue of the free IBD Extra newsletter just came out this week, and it features, of course, the latest bases, breakouts, and breakdowns. We have a screen of the month that talks about stocks that have top fundamentals, and we have a new video in there that talks about how to get started with IBD and points you to where you can find buying and selling checklists and some very simple routines.
And you can find all of that on our website at investors.com/radioshow. And you can also learn more about Andrew Horowitz and his podcast. See you next week, everybody.
You've been listening to How to Make Money in Stocks with Investor's Business Daily. For more stock ideas and investing strategies, and to subscribe to the free podcast of this show, log on to investors.com/KRLA radio. That's investors.com/KRLA radio.